Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming back to the Bobcast. As always, I have with me Candice the Wolf Slayer. We clap.
Yeah.
We clap at that. And today is a really good one, man, because we when we first started this podcast, our very first guest was, let me turn off my goddamn phone. Our very first guest was Wade Sapp, everyone, and he's here back.
I'm back.
That episode got scratched because
yeah,
that was when we first started.
We didn't know what we were doing.
We had no idea what we were doing.
We printed the file icon on a piece of paper and burned it out back.
yes.
Basically, we thought we were going to start a podcast that was about songwriting. And we were going to take the people on a songwriting journey. And that's when we realized that it's way too grueling.
Yeah. I don't like, I mean, it's tough enough just bearing your soul in front of another songwriter, you know, let alone a camera that's going to, in the back of my mind, I feel like somebody else is just, like a bunch of people are watching me in a, like an interrogation room, you know.
Yeah. So it didn't work.
Yeah.
So
now we're needless to say it didn't work.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we figured it out.
Yeah.
Some light conversation.
Yeah.
And a few songs with Wade Sapp.
That's what we're calling it, huh?
Hell yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
No heavy stuff allowed.
No, we talk heavy too.
Okay.
I was just kidding. Light conversation about heavy topics.
All right.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah. Outside of that, man, the rest of the year I don't have a whole lot. I'm just getting ready to hopefully make a new record, you know, just figuring out what that is, and I've got all the songs for it. But I'm writing more and more and more.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. But,
great.
I'd like to go into the studio with like 25 songs and then just whittle those down, you know. But
wow.
It's all kind of, we don't know, you know, or I don't know, I should say, me and all my other personalities, what it's going to be just yet, but I know I've got the songs for it.
Now, do you know, are you going to go with Aaron?
But I mean, ideally, you know, he made such a great record.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've got to figure it all out, man.
So
I can't really talk new record yet, but, I brought it up. So here I am. But
there you go.
You know, I figured, history has shown, and especially in this business, like until something's actually done, you probably just shouldn't even bring it up or talk about it, because
I don't know.
I don't know.
I've been talking about, like, I made a plan. I think it's good to make a plan. It's like I know my next album already, the title. I haven't written all the songs, but you know, you got to talk about it and set it up.
I make like little lists, and like I have a whole concept record plan for kind of centered around like jail and prison, and I know what songs are going to be on that already, and probably five of them aren't written yet, but I know what they're about and like what it's going to be like. So I don't know, I just come up with new concepts and make lists, and that seems to work pretty good. It's like actually, speaking of Aaron Hill, he told me years ago, he's like, make lists, man, because you look back and you're like, dang, I did all that, you know, that's done.
Yeah, it's funny. I found an old list not too long ago. I was going through a bunch of shit, and when I had first got sober, when I was 24, it's funny you brought up the list, because I literally found the list. Someone made me do that.
Yeah.
And it was funny. It was like, get a guitar.
Check.
Find a place. Move out of the storage shed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, get a vehicle.
Yeah.
Get my driver's license.
Clip toenails.
Get this stuff.
Yeah, I make lists all the time. I love
but
lists.
But it was funny seeing that list of like, oh, wow, I don't even have a driver's license at this time or a guitar.
That's pretty impressive.
You know?
Yeah, once you accomplish.
I crossed the list and I went way further.
Yeah, look at you go, man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It does help, though.
For the record, that was the last list I've ever made. Now I just free ball it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep, and I have to wrangle you in.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It helps. But yeah, that's it's kind of like manifestation in a way, though, too. I think when you write something out, it's almost like casting a spell or something, you know. If when you see it on paper, I don't know, I'm a very visual person, and it helps me to see what I need to do, or like if I'm, I do carpentry and stuff on the side, and I usually will draw out the whole project. If it's not drawn out on paper, it's usually in my head and it gets jumbled, and I go to Home Depot five times instead of twice, you know. It's never once.
Well,
but
I think the hardest part of all this, I think, is the vision. Is get the part that's key is that vision.
Absolutely.
And so without the vision to like what you're saying, talk about your next record, you're it's the vision of seeing it, and then it starts to come together. But mm-hmm. you know, so you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like that's the hard part is just being able to see that. And then once you have the vision, then it's simply execution.
Right. For sure. It helps.
Yeah.
I think sometimes also to add to that, like go down Lower Broadway and just look at all that nonsense. It's just like a circus, you know? But one of the coolest things about that is that's all the result of somebody, well, many people, sitting down and putting a pen to paper and writing songs, because that whole thing goes away. It'll just be a bunch of bars with bands, surely, but if you take the songs away,
yeah,
then you don't need bands and you won't have a tourism hub, you know.
But do you think they need new songs constantly? Or it's like, is there enough old ones?
Bob Dylan once said the world's got enough songs, you know, but he still puts out records. And so that's what I'll say to that, you know.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that it's easy to, it's kind of like I think that machine downtown in Broadway could go without ever another new song probably, but maybe it's feeding on that. And, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either, man. I really feel like, we need, new experiences and humanity. You know, we're trying to go to Mars, you know, like we're trying to expand constantly and for better or worse, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think we'll always need new songs. And
hell yeah.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Yeah, I'm still writing them. So.
I'm still writing
them. I'm always looking for new songs.
Yeah.
Yep.
We to
love
listen
to.
Hell
so. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing like finding a great, I tend to go in reverse. I listen to some new music, of course, like Space Trucker and, you know, Trucking for Jesus, mm-hmm. but.
Good plus.
Yep. Hell yeah. Yep.
I find myself typically digging through digital crates, if you will, and like looking for old Otis Redding cuts, or who inspired Otis Redding, or whoever, you know.
Yeah. I've been into Desmond Dekker a lot.
Yeah, totally, man.
Like we were just listening to him earlier. Yeah. Like I like that old shit, digging in those deep cuts too, man, finding some shit.
Yeah, and like you find an old, you know, obscure band that never did anything commercially, but they made two or three records, and it becomes sometimes my favorite stuff. Like Barefoot Jerry is a good example, and that's a, you know, a band of session players here in Nashville from back in the 70s, and I mean it's just incredible melding of country and rock. And if you've seen Heartworn Highways, there's a clip of them in that in the studio, and that that studio is actually right over by D's. It's called Cinderella Sound, and Wayne Moss still operates out of there, but I went and toured it one time, and it's pretty epic, man. He's still got all the old equipment and all that stuff and everything in there. But yeah, that, I mean, that's just an obscure band that was really damn good. And
yeah.
They were just session guys, though. They made their money in the studio, and they didn't need to tour or anything like that. And so
sometimes I think about that, like I sell a lot of vinyl,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I think about like 300 years from now. You know, we're all dead, and somebody's like going through their grandma's, like, you know, box up in the attic or something. Their great great grandma's, and they find this old Bob Wayne record.
Yeah,
that looks weird, and maybe they put it on, and they're like, "What the fuck?" Then they go look it up, and they go back, and they're like, "Look at this! This was from 300 years ago when the internet first started." This
yeah,
dude,
yeah.
Here's a crazy dude singing about methed out truckers. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My grandma was insane.
Yeah, I mean,
look, our grandma was I think she was a criminal. Listen to this shit. You know?
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's interesting to think our muse, someone could find Wade Sapp 1,000 years from now.
It's possible,
if
man.
If humanity keeps going.
Our own government shot a golden record up into space. Do you know about that?
Mm-hmm.
It's just incredible. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Cause they surely have a phonograph.
I listened to
Planet
it
X, you know,
I actually listened to the record recently. That's funny you said that. There's some horrible music on there.
Oh, really?
I don't think good.
Oh, really? Well, it's, like, what was on there?
Well, they put, like, different countries, too, like African.
Oh, okay.
And
the top hits from around the world?
Right.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's something, but...
Yeah. No one will ever find that. That thing's just
maybe gone. Space Trucker will find it, man.
You never know, dude.
Space Trucker
dude,
may
space
find
truckers
that.
Out there hunting her down,
jamming it.
He's up there jamming it, dude. Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. Well, shit, man. Should we knock out a song?
Let's play a song. Yeah, why not? Yeah.
What are you thinking now? Do you think we should try to do Cowboy Hat Ain't Clean?
I don't think I can pull it off without...
Okay, let's not do that one yet. Let's save that for when we release it.
All right.
But me and you do have a badass song we wrote together that's fucking one of my favorites on my new record, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
My cowboy hat ain't clean, dude.
Yeah, yeah, that's
we
one
wrote
of my
this
favorites,
right here.
Too.
We wrote it right in this living room.
Speaking back to Aaron Hill and the list, he said to me, like, I was just in a lull of shows, I think, and he said, don't let that cowboy hat gather dust. And I kind of wrote that down, and then I brought it to you, and we ended up saying, talking about a dirty cowboy hat, like somebody likes to get their hands and soul dirty, I guess. But, yeah, let's play something, man.
I stare at old pictures and think about the boys we were, when I could still quote scripture and he'd partake of the earth. We weren't pathetic poor folks, just a faded six of spades. Society was the cold spokes that smacked us in the face, said stay in place. In the cobwebs of my abused brain, it was North Carolina, the last time that I saw his face, for he pissed away his prime. And no matter how I try and fight, he drops into my dreams. The nightmare veers towards violence, and I'm awakened by the scenes. And to think, God, it was a good day. I almost didn't feel pain. I almost didn't hear a train. I almost didn't let it rain. I almost thought that I was sane. I almost thought that this could change. I almost thought it was a dream. God, it was a good day. He was balanced on a bar stool, slamming Xanax down with beer, struggling not to argue with a demon in his ear. And that friend told him with a crooked grin, I need your help tonight.
You just give me a hand, you'll make 8 grand.
But my brother just declined
for a time.
Like a rattlesnake, life bends and shakes, and fate ain't always kind. When your mouth is filled with fatal fangs and poisons in your mind. So they slithered inside and shots were fired in the roof and through the floor. They got the loot and move their boots straight through a jailhouse door. And what's more, it was almost a good day. He almost didn't feel pain. He almost didn't hear train. He almost didn't let it rain. He almost thought that he was sane. He almost thought that he could change. He almost thought it was a dream. Johnny, was a good day. And now it ain't. So I stare at old pictures and think about the men we'll be. I bust open these blisters and pray for his release.
That's a true story there. Don't really need to delve into it too much, but it's one of my favorite songs I've ever written there.
It's amazing.
I spent a lot of time on it, and I've written about 10 versions of it that sound all different. So,
well, it was an honor to sing it with you, especially having, you know, the recording is Culture Wall.
Yeah, man.
Those were heavy shoes I just had to fill right there, guys.
Oh, you killed it, man.
That was heavy. I was like, oh, shit, Culture Wall did this one. I'm not going to be able to top that, but...
Those boots are busting at the seams,
buddy.
We did it.
I did all right.
Yeah.
First time trying.
Yeah, we didn't
even rehearse that. I've
never even
tried that. I've never rehearsed it. I love the song, though.
Thanks, man.
So that's my first time doing it with you, man. So
yeah.
I expect to be called up on stage next time I see you out live.
Oh, yeah. If I see you in the audience, I'll call you out. Better be ready.
I'll be ready.
I know you're
ready. I'll learn that one. I'll learn that just for that. And then I'll be following. I'll be like, wait, all of a sudden Wade's like every show Wade plays. Like, you notice how Bob's
in
every
in
show
the front
now?
At every show.
He's taking pictures with fans at the merch booth.
Selling
what is
my
that
shit.
About?
I'm selling my
shit. Yeah, why is Bob's record next
I just happen
to, mine?
To have a box of records with me, guys. Just around town, just hijacking people's shows.
Yeah. Actually, I've seen someone do that before. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
That's hilarious.
Literally put their CD on a merch table at a show they weren't even at.
Yeah. I've seen people do that. Oh, no, I've seen people do that. I've had merch people at my merch. I've caught my merch guys selling their CDs, and they were just the merch guy, but they're selling their band CD.
Wow.
Like off to the side, and they weren't playing nothing. They just tell people, hey, I got my shit over here. And I was like,
dude. Just put a tip jar out, man. You're like, Anyway,
that's funny.
One thing I thought was cool, I got to go out on tour this year with Morgan Wade out west, and she's a killer songwriter. If y'all don't listen to Morgan Wade, fix that. But anyhow, one thing I thought was kind of cool is that people in her band have projects of their own. Johnny Sword and Clint Wells, her guitar player and bass player, they had their stuff out there. Like Johnny's got a t-shirt, you know, and
that's cool.
I think it's cool. She's just like, totally.
And I don't allow that.
Yeah.
Hey. If it don't have my name and face on it.
Yeah, whenever we see that, Bob's like, I would never allow that.
Yeah. I'd never seen it before, though. I thought, like,
that's not allowed at my merch table.
Support the homies. But.
This gold tooth wasn't cheap, buddy.
Yeah. Man, I just remember one song I do want to play.
You do?
Yeah.
All right, fuck yeah.
This is a newer one.
We won't say no.
Old Jace Cardi, if you're listening. What's up, man? This is a true story about how he and I almost got arrested one night here in Nashville, and I'll just leave the story to be told through the song.
I think I'm in good shape here where I'm at. Let me know if I need to move.
I think you're good.
All right. Let me slide when he's off. All right, here we go, y'all.
It was New Year's Eve in Nashville, my feet had just hit town. I went looking for a fast thrill, but beer was all I found. So I phoned my one lone friend up, and we cracked open the case. Then stood around a pickup behind my rundown place. Now it could have been the drinking, It could have been the tunes, but something in me figured out what the two of us should do. I ain't too proud to say it, but we hopped into my truck. I drove under the influence of boredom and good luck. It was near 11:30 by the time that we got there. The ground was wet and dirty, cold fog filled the air. And you might think of a graveyard as an awful, dreadful place if you don't have a safeguard against the ghastly race. But our company was better than it had been in the past, for the hallowed ground below our feet was a grave of Johnny Cash. And June was there beside him, what a precious, gentle soul. I know that she'll be present when Peter calls the roll. Well, when the clock struck midnight, we howled at the moon, said cheers to one another, and placed a beer upon the tomb. And it might sound disrespectful, but we meant it all in love. And I'd like to think the man in black was laughing from above, 'cause right about that time, a cruiser had pulled up. The law was shining flashlights and walking towards my truck, so we dipped behind the bushes. I said sorry to my friend, but before they could ambush us, he went up and talked to them. Well, I've done some time in county, so I knew our fate was sealed, as I gazed upon the ground there in the middle of the field. Then I saw him shaking hands, and I heard the cop car crank. My buddy almost danced as they went along their way. I said, man, what did you tell them? How come they were so calm? He told him we were paying our respects to my dear mom. Now, whether we were wrong or right, I'll leave it up to you. But if you'd been with us that night, I bet you'd do it too. We made our getaway, we sang a whole drive home. Too drunk in Ira Hayes, I walked the line and Delia's gone, 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 gone. One more round. I think I'm gonna call that the grave of Johnny Cash.
That's a lot of words.
Shitload of words, man. Yeah.
Nice job not fucking that up.
Thanks, it's a new one, man.